Hello and welcome to Tactical Startup. I'm your host, Taylor Darcy. Today we're going to be talking about marketing. Now, I am by no means a marketing guru or any type of marketing specialist, but I have come to learn a few things through marketing my own law practice and studying marketing. So I want to impart a little bit of my wisdom. Marketing is something that I've struggled with because you can spend a lot of money and go broke marketing. If you set up your Google Ads account wrong, if you set up your Facebook ads wrong, if you set up your Yelp ads wrong, those mistakes will cost you. I don't mean to scare you or make it sound like you shouldn't spend money on marketing, because let's face it, if you don't spend money on marketing, you will go out of business. Marketing is the one way that you can scale your business to the multi-million dollar range if that's your goal. Without marketing, nobody knows about you. If you believe that you can deliver a better quality service or more authentic service, then you have a moral imperative to offer your services. That doesn't mean you have to be all salesy and push it and shove it down someone's throat and make them regret for talking to you. But you can use your language and not only speech, but blog posts and YouTube to convey a message that will help people to want to do business with you without forcing them or making the mistake of a lot of business owners to go in for the hard sell. Most people don't like to be hard sold. I am one of them. I get pitched all day, every day. I get 5 to 10 emails a day of people trying to pitch me for a new website or a new this or a new that. And it gets awfully tiring. It gets exhausting to have to say, no, I don't want your service. When I'm ready for your service, I'll go out and find it. And guess what? I don't know you from anybody. And that means that I'm not going to buy from you. That just doesn't make sense. Why would I buy from someone who's just cold emailing me when I have friends that I can get it done for a whole lot cheaper, or not even cheaper? It's not about the money. It's about quality. It's about trust. It's about who do I want to spend my money with? That's a pretty decent reason, right? Because your hard-earned money shouldn't go to someone just because they ask you for it. And that's probably one of the biggest mistakes that a lot of entrepreneurs make, is they go in for the sale way too early. They go in for the ask way too early when they haven't established any type of relationship with somebody. That's why networking events, in my opinion, are for the birds. They fail to capture the value of one company over another because they're not really building relationships. What's a business card going to tell me? It isn't going to tell me anything about the person and let me know that they're qualified or competent or good at what they do. It's a business card. And a 5-second introduction, hey, I do this, oh, hey, I do that, fails in that category. If you think about it, how networking is a great beginning, but it takes a ton of follow-up to make it valuable for both parties. So marketing is more than just the simple, hey, let's put on a new logo, have a great font, and let's have a business card, okay? And I'm not making fun of those things. Don't misunderstand that. What I am saying is that marketing is intentional interaction with someone who is ready and able to buy your product. See the difference? Those other things are all passive. Whether somebody likes your font, whether somebody likes your logo, whether somebody likes your business card, is probably not going to get them to buy from you. Fonts and logos are called branding. What is going to get them to buy from you is to know that they're getting a quality service, quality price. It's a mutually beneficial relationship. Both parties have to want it. Both parties have to like it. That's the key to successful marketing, which is why like podcasts, YouTube, blog posts, and videos that you do. There's a new kind of market out there for instantaneous videos. Someone contacts you with an interest in your product and you send them a link and it's a real quick video to welcoming them to your business. It's an opportunity for them to get to know you in a very short period of time. Hardly anybody, if anybody, does that. And that's pretty amazing. It's an opportunity that others are not currently capitalizing on. It's just, if you think about it, how can you build a relationship if you don't give someone an opportunity to get to know you? And here's why that's so important. Studies have shown that people's attention span in the new world, in the new media, are only 8 seconds before they're on to something else, especially when they're looking at things. So you have 8 seconds to get someone's attention. That's pretty huge. In other words, you need to get right to the point. When you hem and haw, and when you're indecisive, or you take forever to make someone get to know you, or you add too many friction points. For instance, if you make it difficult for someone to find you, they will move on to someone who doesn't make it difficult. Websites are great marketing tools, except for most people will spend about 3 to 5 seconds on your website, or what's called the top of the fold, the very initial screen. You have to earn the next 3 to 5 seconds. So what does that mean to you? That means that you need to be very intentional about your marketing. You need to be very intentional about how you interact with others. When someone's calling, you can't afford for a new client or new customer to go to your voicemail. You need to have a setup that gets them to a person right away, that gets their contact information so that you can follow up immediately, so that you can call them back if you're not available, or ideally that you talk to them yourself. Because an appointment made has significantly more value than a voicemail left. Think about that. If someone leaves you a voicemail, how long does average that you get back to somebody, if you get back to them at all? Do you know in some instances it's 2 or 3 days? And law firms, there's been studies done that up to 60% of new business, law firms leave money on the table because they don't get back to them. That's a pretty big deal. Think about that in context of your own business. When someone calls to purchase a service, if that's the type of business that you're running, how quickly do you get back to them? What about a product? If someone is on your website looking for a product, so we're talking e-commerce now, then if they're on your website, how often do you follow up with them? Do you give them a reason to buy from you? A lead magnet is a great way to get people to come back and buy from you. It's a simple thing that starts building that relationship of trust. I'd love to hear in the comments, how many of you try to sell before you've established a relationship with your customer, or before they're ready to buy, or they don't even know you, they're not even interested in you? You're losing out on so much business if you go in for the sale too soon. You haven't earned it. That's the truth. What have you given them as a reason to buy from you? So when you're thinking about marketing, the key is to recognize that marketing is intentional. It is not passive. Are you putting stuff on Facebook that lets people know that you're operating a business? I cannot tell you how many people fail to mention that they're operating a business. And it'll be years that they're in business. And then all of a sudden, someone goes, oh, I bought from Joe, but I do that, is usually the response. I do that exact same thing. We'll just use my parents' example as carpet cleaners. If nobody knows that you're a carpet cleaner, how can you expect your friends and family, people that are the easiest leads, to buy from you? Just a conceptual thing. If no one knows you do a business and you're like, oh, I don't want to sell. I don't want them to feel like I'm pushing my agenda on them. I'm not telling you to shove it down their throats. I'm not telling them to sell every time. But if no one knows you do it because you keep it hidden, no one can buy from you. That's just a fact. You tell them about wins that you've had. Oh my gosh, this awesome thing happened. You're not selling to them. You're telling them about your life. You're sharing your life. That's the benefit. That's your success right there, because now they're seeing your wins. Like, for instance, I was nominated the last 2 years for Super Lawyers. I'm not telling you this to pat myself on the back. I'm telling you that as I tell that to people, that helps build that trust with them. They recognize I've been given awards. I've accomplished things. And it's not just about the award. It's about building that trust. And they're hanging on my wall right now as a way to remind me of the trust and the confidence that my clients have placed in me. And so I work extra hard. And I'll tell you, there is nothing better looking at my Google reviews and the words and the language that people have used to describe their interactions with me. I work very hard to overcome the stereotypical perceptions of an attorney, that they are rude or overpriced or they bill you for everything. I have clients that I absolutely love and I work very hard for. When they need something smaller, no big deal, I don't bill them for that, because we've built a relationship where I know that when it's something bigger, that they're going to pay me for it. Are you delivering the type of service that commands the type of price that you want? Or are you in a race to the bottom? Because somebody will always do it for cheaper or free, which is even worse. But that completely discounts the value that you bring. It eliminates the fact you are a valuable human being and the service that you provide has value. I mentioned this in one of my previous episodes about the new potential client that asked me how much I did something for, and he said, does it for cheaper? And I'm like, okay, go hire them. I'm not going to do it for cheaper. And he was asking for an 80% discount. I have faith in myself, and I have faith in the work that I perform and the relationships that I build with my clients. I'm worth every penny that I'm given in exchange for the work that I do. Marketing is relationship building. For instance, one thing that I do with new clients is I send them a gift, because I want them to know that I sincerely appreciate them coming to me. There are hundreds of thousands. They chose me, and I don't take that choice lightly. I don't take the opportunity to serve someone lightly. So when you're looking at what you're doing as a business, consider that. Decide and make that something that's important to you is your relationship. For instance, let's talk about some more commercial businesses. When you go to a Nordstrom's, oh my gosh, they treat you like royalty. It's amazing. Who doesn't like being treated like that? You could be walking off the street in your most grubbiest clothes, and I have never been into Nordstrom's, and they've treated me anything but I felt like a king. How many stores can you say that about? Now, I'm not saying they were perfect. I'm not saying they did that all the time, but most of the time, right? Like a good 80 to 90% of the time. Now, take that same approach with Walmart. You walk into Walmart, and you're lucky that if someone even greets you, much less offers to help you. Half the time when you're walking in Walmart, not only are you not getting the service that you need, but they don't even know themselves. How many times have I walked in there and I've needed something and I'm like, hey, where is this? And the person's, oh, it's down aisle such and such. They literally just moved the aisles and that person's wrong. And I'm wasting time looking for this thing that, because they did change the aisles and I don't know the aisles. So how can I possibly be expected to know where everything is? And because they moved it, it now takes me significantly longer to get through Walmart, to get through shopping. Here's another great example, Costco. Costco has an amazing return policy. You buy something at Costco you don't like, and almost without fail, you can return it. Now, since COVID-19 has happened, that's necessarily a thing of the past, but they did say that they won't accept back certain things. And that's because of the people that bought it and were hoarding and just that type of thing, made bad choices. They're not accepting everything back. But for the most part, if you buy something from Costco, you're going to be able to return it. And even if it's partially used, that's something that always blew my mind. If you get through some of the product and it's bad and it's supposed to be good, they'll take it back. They don't even care. Now, contrast that with many businesses. Target's a little better than Walmart, but and I'm not dissing Walmart for the sake of, they've got prices that are affordable. People go there. It's not a crazy place to spend your money. but their level of service, right? You don't go to Walmart because you're expecting to be served really well. You go to Walmart because it's cheap, because it's fast, or not even then. They've basically made self-service the norm, and they have very few cashiers. And that affects, interestingly enough, it takes you longer to do self-service than it does for the cashier to do the work. You spend more time there because of self-service, interestingly enough. It's true. You might think it's faster because you're doing it, but in reality, it's actually the person, the cashier, is doing it much faster than you are. So your service is your marketing, because once people know and trust you, you're going to get more business. Luria Petrucci from livestreamingpros.com, another shout out. Now, I'm shouting out to these people not because they've offered me anything, but because they have people that have influenced me and that have helped me build my business and that helps me build my confidence. And one of the reasons why I'm able to go through and do this podcast is because of that. Pat Flynn, another great source for starting your podcast, if that's something that you're going to do. But Luria, you know, Petrucci is an amazing person. And one of the things that she talks about and that a lot of authors speak of is that anything you can do to build your know, like, and trust is going to help your marketing, because it's an intentional relationship with someone who can purchase your product or service. We talked about in a previous episode, you don't market to somebody who can't afford your product. And I don't mean that to say that you shouldn't have relationships with them and build relationships with them. If you're selling a Lamborghini, you're not going to be selling to the lowest bidder. $500,000 car, $100,000 car, you just can't. You can't market to everybody, right? You're wasting your time, you're wasting your energy, you're wasting your money. And so finding your niche, and some people call it niche, and there's all sorts of different versions, but finding your people, your tribe, finding people that are your people. Like, you guys are my people. Like, I grew up as an entrepreneur, and that's why I became who I am. Son of a carpet cleaner, son of a upholstery repair person, a vinyl repair person. I think we did Amway. I know my mom did Avon. There's so many different things that my parents did growing up that I couldn't help but see the value of helping entrepreneurs in building businesses. But the problem is so many entrepreneurs do it unintentionally, or they're just open for the next phone call. And that's okay sometimes, but it's not okay if you plan on staying in business. You need to have intentional relationships with people that are in your niche. And that takes effort. That takes consistency over time. That takes people having the opportunity to get to know you and your business, and getting to know you in a way that they feel comfortable purchasing your product. And sometimes for a $5 nothing, that can mean very little time that it takes. I mean, think about it. A little win, such as a little book, a little ebook, right? Say an ebook on parenting that you sell for 10 bucks. Doesn't cost you much to do. And you can then market that. And people are going to buy that book because they're going to see the value in it. And it's not a huge price point. Versus a Lamborghini, you need to have some built relationships, strong relationships. Same thing goes with me as an attorney. Right? I don't get the quick things. I have to go and build relationships and spend time getting to know my clients and their needs before they're willing to hire me, because it's not cheap to hire an attorney. Okay? So your relationship has to be based largely on the proportionality of the product. So if it's a less expensive product, then by all means, do your thing. Do brief advertising. And you can make good money that way. There's nothing that says that you have to be cheap as a person. If you get 1 million people to buy a penny object, you've got some money there, right? So it doesn't really matter. You just have to market it accordingly. If you're going for quality instead of quantity, think Nordstrom's, right? Then yeah, your prices are going to be a little higher and it's going to be more discretionary. unfortunately, in economics, you're going to run the risk of being a luxury good, which means that as the economy changes, then the demand for your product's going to change as well. It's going to lower or increase depending on the expansion or contraction of the economy. But you talk about an inelastic good, which is a fancy way of saying something that you have to have. Think water, right? You can't do without water. Food. You can't live without food. When you consider all of those things, depending on where you're at, like bread, we've talked about bread before. If you're making bread, if that's your thing, if that's what you're selling, or food of some sort, then how do you differentiate yourself? How do you make yourself look better than the others? And so in order to build that know, like, you can trust. It used to be that you had to have a Yellow Pages ad and a White Pages ad. And the bigger the ad, the more expensive it was. I actually sold those ads. Okay, not to date myself too badly there. But I actually was on the phone telling people to buy these ads. And a lot of times it was renewal. And then other times they were like, am I really getting any money on this? And so I sold ads to PhoneBook. And the reality was that dying or dead medium now, you can still be listed on yellowpages.com, but it's not the same thing. But it used to be that's how simple it was to get business. It wasn't trackable. It wasn't targeted, but you could do it. And there were other ways, like advertising in the newspaper or advertising to certain journals. But now we've gotten to the society where if you only have 8 seconds to get someone's attention, what are you doing to get their attention? Do you have a good hook? Are you having a good length of time that you're talking with them? Is it something where you're building these relationships? Because you have to get them interested in 6 seconds or 8 seconds or 5 seconds, depending on what you're using. But to keep them interested, you got to keep thinking in, okay, what's the next 10 seconds? What about the next 5 seconds? How am I going to get those next moments for their attention to stay with me so that I can build this relationship with them? Because otherwise, what happens is somebody gets bored, they click off your channel, they click off your page, or they click off your video, and you don't know if they'll ever come back. Like in YouTube, it's a pretty big deal for people to get subscriptions. And because that relates to how quickly you can get Google ads. And it also relates to watch time. Google people to spend more time on there. So as you more relevant content, they're going to promote your channel more. And when you rank for a video, they're going to do it. And think of this. This is a free platform, something that did not exist not that long ago, where you can build a business, whether it be a local business or an e-commerce business, several other types of businesses all online for free. They'll even pay you. That's amazing. Talk about a big difference between having to purchase a Yellow Book ad where it was $100 a month or more, and you had no idea whether you were going to get any ROI on that, and you couldn't tweak things. It was literally, once it was in the published book, that was it. You were done. You didn't get to change it mid-thing. The phone book would come out, and for a year, you were stuck with that ad. And if it was a great ad, you had good money. If you had a terrible ad, you were screwed. And that was a lot of money out of your pocket for not a very good ad. I mean, imagine $1,200 and you never know what's going to happen with it at a minimum. And that was for a cheap ad. We're not talking half page, that type of thing. And here's the next part of it. Yellow Pages ads don't help people know that you are credible, because all it does is tell about you. You haven't provided enough value to help people to see your worth. It's without fail, whenever someone is struggling, relate it back to value. Have I provided enough value to this person for them to hire me? Sometimes there are some clients where I have to spend more time with them before they hire me. And that's okay. Because then there's other times where people trust me, not instantaneously, but they trust me because they'll see my awards, or they'll see my YouTube videos, or they'll hear my podcast. And they'll trust me because they've seen this. They've seen me already. And so it's very little work to do at that point. I don't have to work hard because I've already done the work. But if you haven't done the work, then you're never going to get what you're expecting. That kind of brings me to where I want to conclude. If you are struggling with your business, look at your relationships. Are you building relationships with your customers and clients? Or are you just trying to get the next sale? People can tell. I guarantee you, if you think that you're not, or that you're selling too hard, or if you think that it's not transparent when someone is just trying to go on to the next sale, you're sadly mistaken. Now, sometimes that's okay. It's a discrete transaction when it's something small. But if you're honestly trying to build a business, especially a local business, attorney, plumber, you name it, really comes down to how well they know and trust you. So I would encourage you to put that into your marketing plan. Build those relationships. Help people to see your value. Be willing to do what it takes to help them understand that you are worth the money that they're expecting to pay. Because if you think about it, the only reason why someone should pay you to do something is if it's less expensive, either time, frustration, or money to do something. If I could learn it myself, then what keeps me from just learning it myself? I would rather pay someone else to do certain things because that's not my forte. But if they're so expensive and they haven't shown me their value yet, then I won't spend the money. But if they've shown me the value and it's comparable, right? The value has to be comparable to the service that they bring and the amount of money that it is. And here's the problem. So many people say, oh, we're increasing our prices. But have you shown me any more value? Or are you just increasing your prices to lighten your load? And if the answer is you haven't shown me any more value, you're just doing it to lighten your load, then you've failed. And I'll be honest with you, I'm more likely than not going to hire you. I wanted to end with letting you know there will be guests on the podcast. I'm working on getting them. There's going to be some very exciting people on here. Estate planning attorney, tax attorney, a real estate broker. They're all coming up. I want you to know that this is going to be something that's really going to help you build your business and help you level up. We're going to talk about automation. That is going to be my next episode where we talk about automating your business so that you can work on your business instead of in your business. Because if you can automate something, imagine being able to spend more time with your clients or on the things that you love instead of spending time on the things that you don't love. So until next time, we'll talk to you later. Have a great day.